settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
Hello everyone, this is Sylvia Avery and welcome to Spirits Work, the metaphysical, paranormal and spiritual information show that is designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. And on today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling Gregory. And we'll be talking about healing. And if you would like to ask a question, the number to call is toll free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not free, but it's 001-530-876-3222. And it's not a reading situation, okay, here. But anything that if you've got something, a question you'd like to talk about that's pertaining to our subject of healing, then that you'd like to know or you'd like to share, then do give us a call.
It's input, isn't it, dear?
It's input, yes.
Yes. Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirits Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us or our books, then please do go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And don't forget that you can get all kinds of things there, CDs, as well as featured on there at the moment is a video that we did of a live situation presentation that we did in the UK. And it's just like a small little bit of film, but it's 22 minutes long. And you can look at that either on our site or on veoh.com. That's V-E-O-H. com.
See Gregory.
I see Gregory.
In action.
In action, I believe, yes. Yes. Do go and do that. As Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, and each week live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an Earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back when the spirit communicator leaves. I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was they took me either. Sometimes I do, but mostly I don't, because it isn't my reason of doing it. My whole reason for doing this is to give myself to the spirit world so that they can do with me what they would wish to do, which is, of course, on the unconditional situation of surrender and love. And that's the actual energy in which this all is created. Anyway, that's my job, and so without any further things for me to say, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie and have a great show while I go to sleep. Goodbye.
Gregory is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. They consist of many great minds, as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to have understanding beyond the constraint of our human mind. The subject matter we cover, whether in our books or on our radio shows, is limitless and will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, of course, as well as your continued life after physical death. Our mission is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. And like I say, if we're talking about healing today, and if you would like to phone us, it's toll-free. In the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, 888-815-9756. And international callers, 001-530-876-3222. But the international call isn't free, I'm afraid. Okay, so, hello, Gregory.
With love and life, my dear friend.
Hi. So we're going to be talking about healing again.
Yes.
I would like to ask you about what happens or what can be achieved through doing healing on somebody who is actually about to die. I mean, we know, like you know,
yes,
that you're not going to save their lives.
Yes.
Hello?
Hello there, Sylvie. How are you?
Oh, hello. Is that Brian?
Yes.
Hi, Brian.
Hello, friend. Hello, with love and light, friend.
And to you also, Gregory. How are you?
I am very well. Never better, thank you. Never better.
Yes. Wow. Well, speaking of healing, I had a couple questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote them down so I wouldn't forget them.
Yes.
The first one is, the past week, I wanted to kind of go into a state of meditation, and I sat down in a room that was the light was very dim, and I focused my eyesight, my physical vision, around my fingers of my hand, and I started to begin to see a green glow around my fingers and around my hands, and I was wondering, am I tapping into my aura field?
How very interesting, my dear friend. You should witness this. The situation about the green glow is, in fact, because of the fact that you actually have some very physical properties.
Hmm.
Now, this is to do with the condition of those who are working with you, who are of the spirit nature, of course, and who actually wish to, develop this even further.
Yes.
This was actually a little evidence for you on their behalf and was actually created by chlorophyll.
Hmm. Is it the foods that I'm eating, or is this just spirit's way of letting me know?
This was actually, my dear friend, quite a physical property.
Hmm.
And I'm quite surprised, in actual fact, that you were able to, that they were actually able to keep you in the physical state, as well as seeing it.
Yes, I had to focus away, look away, and then look at it, and then look away and look back, and
yes,
it
yes.
came into my field of vision. Yes.
Yes, yes, quite so. If you actually had a situation, perhaps, to verify this, you would need to have another person in the same room to actually observe the situation as well. And then you would know whether it was actually the pure physical property or whether it is, in fact, and this isn't to say that it's a lesser form, or,
right.
but to say whether it was an illumination for you brought about by the spirit world. So in actual fact, how should we say this, developing your clairvoyant attitude. So the situation, however, appears to be, my friend, that with you as a physical being, because your energy is so extreme and sensitive and peculiar, I would say, in that you are actually able to bring about, if you had a mind to develop it, you could actually develop this into quite a physical property.
Yes, I choose that.
And this would mean an interaction with the spirit world in materialization.
Well, that's something that I do want to work on and expand upon.
Yes,
if
well,
it brings
of
me
course,
a greater yes, if it brings me a greater growth in learning about myself and in the spirit realm, yes, I choose that.
Well, yes, quite so. The thing is, of course, that you would have to be quite careful how you go about this, because
yes.
it's really a situation that you need to develop with at least one or two other people.
Ah, I see.
To be able to help you in this. And how they would help you in doing this, Ben, is to actually give you their energy. This is a very selfless act. So
exactly.
It really does depend on whether you can find two people who are willing to give of their time, perhaps even an hour or two a week, no more than that, to actually be able to develop this as a prospect. Now, whether it actually comes to transcend into healing and that kind of thing, I have to say that it could well do, but it may well be to do with trance healing, deep trance work. And
yes,
that is something which then, it's a little difficult to explain in this situation, but it would mean you having really, I know that you've already given yourself in the respect of your own spirituality and depth of reasoning to want to become more and more aware, ever growing in your awareness,
yes,
to do with the spirit world. But it's just that they actually have quite a pathway for you, I believe, Brent.
Okay. One other thing, Gregory, is from your perspective, from a spirit world's perspective, what is the significance of the color green around my hands, of the aura, or
well,
the energy?
No, I'm not saying that the color green as an aura would necessarily be that perspective. What I'm saying, because normally you would actually have a different situation in your auric field around you whilst you are healing or whilst you are concentrating that energy itself. So it appears to be that the spirit world are actually working with you in quite a different way that they have worked with anyone else.
Okay.
And so
is that because I choose it, or is it because I've asked for it?
You haven't asked for it, friend. It's actually beside yourself. It's actually because of your material state. Your physical material state warrants it because you have an excessive amount of a particular element in your cell activity.
You can go on our site.
Yes.
Look up my bio.
Yes, that's what I was wondering. Does this physical state of beingness, does that carry over from lifetime to lifetime in the same individual?
No, not at all. It's up to the individual. It's a purely genetic situation, friend, that you are undergoing here. It's not to do with your necessarily spirituality. It is actually to do with your physical makeup of your DNA and that of your cells, and how your cells are being reactive to the spirit world is actually quite different from many other beings, and is actually quite rare.
Is it like a triggering or an awakening of something that I've remembered from the past?
No. It's nothing to do with that at all.
Okay.
Nothing
okay.
to do with any journey of the past. In fact, you could have been a road sweeper, my dear friend, and I would say exactly the same thing to you.
Yes.
It's not amount of spirituality, if you have this state. Then it is actually to do with an actual physical property which the spirit world are able to interact with and illuminate upon you as a physical materialization presence. This means to say, my dear friend, that you may actually develop into, it's difficult to say, because quite simply that there are many different properties that it could develop into. It may be that this color green turns to red or ruby, as we tend to call it, in which case you may well be beginning to create a mask or something like that in front of your face. In which case, the spirit world would be able to build someone else's face upon it. This property to do with your hands is coming out in the respect of healing, because that is your direction at present. And that is the way in which you are focusing yourself and your duty of care to others and in service, as it were, that you wish to become aware and more developed this gift of aspect of yourself. the whole property, however, happens to overlap into other areas and other spheres of your life.
And same with seeing the flashes of blue and purple in my vision. Is that the kind of like a clairvoyancy that I'm opening up?
Well, blue and purple, my dear friend, tends to actually be because of the situation of, how can I say this, your spiritual awareness. And this isn't to make you feel well of yourself, but really, and we're not talking about ego or anything like that here,
right.
But what we are talking about is that blue and purple in your visual energy and in your psychic ability, if you like, in when you are perhaps, shall we say, raising your consciousness vibration or something like that, you are actually coming forward into an illumination of your own super spirituality, if you like. You are actually making the connection between your physical state consciousness and your spirit, and that is why you are having this illumination of blue or purple or indigo, something like that.
Yes.
Quite simply because of the vibration that you are feeling, you are then actually changing that vibration and becoming more illuminate.
So with the proper diet and water, all can benefit from this to expand upon these abilities? And
oh, yes, absolutely so.
That's what I need to work on a little bit
yes,
more.
Yes, quite so, yes. And don't forget, friend, to always keep to the water situation as being that which is, shall we say, filtered by yourself.
Okay.
So that it's something which actually goes through a carbonated filter system, which will then render the properties which water companies, I believe, place in them as being not to affect your physical body.
I see. Well, thank you so much, Sylvie and Gregory.
You're welcome.
That really helps a lot.
Yes, yes.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you so.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless you also.
Yes, yes.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Okay. Yes, we were talking about, unless you wanted to elaborate on anything that we've just said there.
No.
Okay. I'd asked you a question, didn't I, about how healing would help.
In a person who is dying, who is passing over to our side of life, what good is that going to be giving them healing? Well, now I have to say, my dear friends, there are a number of situations that you can absolutely bring great, pure, beautiful benefit of healing to someone who is suffering and who may be suffering, of course, with a terminal illness. So if you are doing this remotely, let's deal with that first. If you are giving someone healing, sending someone healing remotely, that is, you're not in their area of understanding, you're not in their vibration, you're not physically present in their room, but you are doing it from some other place. You may be on another part of the planet, my dear friend, and what you are doing is you are sending your energy, aura, thought, love, feeling. Sending that as a prayer healing so that you are actually asking the spirit world to concentrate the energy that you are giving out into that person. So what does this actually do to them? Do they feel it? Not necessarily so, they may not. They may be in too much pain to feel it. However, what will actually happen to them whilst you are sending that healing? And while that healing energy is working around them in their aura, it won't obviously alleviate the actual suffering, perhaps, that they are physically going through, although it may. It may well do. It may well even ease that suffering for some considerable time. It may well be, and I have to use so many different answers in this, quite simply because each case is variable, and each situation will depend entirely upon the gift that you have, your ability to blend with the spirit world, and the spirit world's ability to utilize the energy that you send out in the form of the loving prayer in order to help that person. That doesn't mean to say that your energy is not any good if it doesn't go to that person. It means to say that the spirit world has to actually use it in some other way. So it may not necessarily be that your energy actually gets to its objective straight away. It may be that the spirit world actually has to wrap it up, as it were, actually have to take it themselves and take it to the physical person that you are wishing to help. So that's the first thing to get out of the way, to understand for yourselves the method of transport, the methodology of moving it from one place in physical state to another place in physical state. I understand there have been many experiments over this very aspect of life, of having mediums trying to facilitate healing to someone else in another room, and that they have tried and tried and tried and found that there's no real correlation, oftentimes, between what appears to be happening to the medium and the sending of the healing thoughts to the receiving of the healing by the client involved or by the victim or whatever it is. So what do we deduce from this? Not necessarily is it as plain sailing as science would point out. Quite, and I'm taking this from a scientific perspective, quite simply to make a point here and to explain exactly how humanity, those who do not believe in this as being a workable situation, how they could actually then be flawed in their assertion that it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So the situation is then that it may well be that because of the fact that the medium is sending out the energy-loving gift to the person in the other room, but is doing it via the spirit world, that actually what's happening is if they actually took an aurograph of that person's energy, the medium's energy at the time, they would see that it would actually move into different colors. It would actually transpire perhaps as heat upon the hands. Perhaps this may transcend into varying different degrees of heat, or perhaps even coldness. And the situation of why they may not necessarily pick up that the victim or client, the person in the other room, is maybe not actually picking up that energy, could quite easily be that the medium is actually sending it out to them, but that it's the spirit world who are taking the energy and converting it into something that is more readily needed or available to pass to that person. It may be that they decide that this is something which needs to be done because it could be that the healing energy is, I won't say of a different quality or of a lower quality, but I'm saying really is of a different vibration, so that what they have to do is actually reconfigure the energy so that it's something that they can use for that particular person's problem. Maybe they don't actually have a problem. What then? What does the healing do then if the person actually does not have a physical problem to deal with? Well, the healing energy will actually go toward their spirit and their physical state and try to enhance that person's physical awareness of their spirit.
Hmm. Right.
And that is something, a condition which is so fine that it won't actually be picked up upon an aurograph.
So it's not really for you to know, to presume to know where you think the healing is necessary,
no.
Where the contact point would be.
No, exactly
you
not.
You leave it up to the spirit world to decide that.
The point is that, exactly, but the point is that people in physical state automatically will think of a person, conjure them up in their minds. There they are. There's the image of mother, father, sister, brother, whoever it is, cousin, aunt, whatever. Mm-hmm. So they conjure up the image and say, I want to send healing to that person, sending, and they feel the energy actually leaving themselves. And what it may well be is that quite possibly, spirit world has to reconfigure that energy in order for it to be acceptable for that person. So they won't necessarily feel it in the way that it has been given. It may well also be, because it's not, of course, for the medium to know specifically, necessarily, what energy it is they have to give. And this is really an issue that I take odds with very many people who undergo all of these courses and say, I'm sending this energy or that energy and it feels like this and it should feel like that on that physical person. Well, actually, you don't necessarily have to know that. And In fact, that is you placing upon that physical person your own energy, which may be indescribably painful to the physical person you're trying to heal. So it all invariably ends up that the spirit world actually has to reconfigure the energy, the state of vibration of it, not because it's lesser or more powerful than, but simply because it's useless in its present form. And that actually what has to happen is that the energy has to be presented to the client in such a way as for it to be of best use. That means it's got to be of a similar vibration to them in order for them to be able to accept it. Because you have to understand that each physical person has a different vibration.
So
I was going to then come to the next part of it.
Okay.
So the reasoning for me bringing this up is quite simply because if you then are trying to send someone a situation of healing and they're passing to the spirit world, then you are not to send them your condition of how your emotion brings that across to you. What you are sending is the contact with the spirit world and your unconditional love. That's what you have to focus on, not healing, but love. If you focus on love within yourself to connect with the spirit that you are, the pure state of spirit that you are, and you are emitting your consciousness not in trying to will it to do this or do that, because then it means you're actually having a mental attitude towards it, which means that what you are doing is you are stopping the spirit world from delivering it, because you're putting your mark upon it. You're actually disabling the spirit world to actually work with you by doing that. So even if you are 1,000 miles away or the other side of the planet, you can actually be sending that person healing just through your loving prayers. And it doesn't have to contain all of your emotion or all of your depths of whatever that you interact with when you want to send this healing gift. What you have to do, however, is send your love.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about healing.
Yes. Now, the second part of your question, friend, is to do with what about if you are in the same room as someone who is passing to Spirit?
Can I just ask you another question about absent healing?
Oh, well, very well. All right, then, and we'll go back to that. Yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
So when people actually say their prayer to the spirit world or whoever, God or whatever, for healing to be sent to somebody on the other side of the world or wherever they are, does it actually get? Should they actually say the ailments that this person has, where they live, their name, and everything like that?
Certainly, if they know them.
Yes.
There is no reason why not. Absolutely no reason whatsoever why not. The situation has to be, however, that you must recognize every time that you do this that it is within the realms of the spirit world as to how effective this is specifically going to be in this type case. What you have to always reflect upon is the fact and state of the attitude that it may well be that the person is suffering perhaps from pain, so yes, you may want them to be relieved of that suffering. And hopefully the energy that you are sending is going to be able to be transcended into a variable energy which will be used by the person, by the spirit world upon them. Hopefully, in a sense, because it's not going to happen every time. That doesn't mean to say I want you to become despondent over the situation, over the issue. Not at all. It's always well worth you sending your love out to someone in need. And all will be done that can be done.
What if whoever it is that's sending out doesn't believe in the spirit world and in fact is quite anti and against the idea?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And what, no. You know, because they might be sending it to somebody that also doesn't believe and would be absolutely just
mortified
at the thought of that happening, you know, that they want God or whoever to heal them.
Yes, quite so, yes. No, thank you. I'll be with my pain myself.
So regardless of that, the spirit world, I'm afraid, are the people that do deal with it.
Absolutely, and they still will deal with it. Perhaps not in the ways in which that person, that human entity, recognizes, because that will depend upon their energy. And I'm not saying either that someone who does not believe in God has a lower energy life form, or is pond life, or something like that, some other arbitrary, disagreeable name.
Mm.
The situation will always remain that the spirit world will try to help if they possibly can. And of course, your loving energy in prayers simply means that they will be able to come closer, so that when the time is for them to be brought over to our side of life, then we will actually be able to facilitate that and make it as pleasant a journey as possible.
Okay, so you can go on to the second part of your question now.
So, so then the situation then of what if you are in the same room as someone who is passing to the spirit world? Now, perhaps you may be able to touch them, to actually be in their personal space. It may be that you can put your hand upon their hand, and by doing that, they may not actually be able to tolerate it, because it may be too hot for them. So don't, if this is the situation, friend, don't be feeling that this is something which gives you pain inside. Oh, no, they don't want me to be here. Don't think of anything negative about it. Simply step back a little and say, oh, very well, I'm sorry. Because some people become absolutely super sensitive, particularly at a time when they're passing. And if you actually touch their physical state, you are trying, you could well be actually stopping them from leaving. You understand.
I can see that, yes.
If you understand, it can then suddenly attract their consciousness back to your hand being on their hand.
Yeah, into the now.
Or something like that, back into the now, and in that case, they can't let go.
Mm-hmm.
So always be aware of that. I'm not saying that you cannot hold their hand at the time that they're passing.
Mm. If you held it just gently for long enough, they would forget the touch, wouldn't they, probably?
Yes, that is quite so. So it's actually usually better to hold their hand within both your hands.
Cup it.
Very, very gently cup it in that way, and perhaps stroke it, stroke the back of their hand very, very gently with your fingers. Now, what about then you giving healing to them in this situation? Yes, absolutely. You will just connect and there it will be. And your healing to them isn't going to bring them back into physical life or make them well again, but what it will do is it's going to make their journey a more pleasant an experience. I'm not saying that the journey isn't a pleasant experience, but what I'm saying is that for some people, at their point of passing or leading up to their point of passing, it is sometimes difficult. And it's the physical difficulty that people tend to reflect upon when they say whether they had a good death or not. And that's something which is actually totally misleading. Of course, I know and am full aware that many people would much rather that they passed in their sleep rather than actually have to physically go through it and be present and aware during every moment leading up to the time of the cessation of your heartbeat and lungs expire.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the situation then may well be that we should really develop into the situation of, well, what if you're just standing there and perhaps you're at the foot of their bed, and that because other members of your family group or whatever are there present. Perhaps it's not actually a relation to do with you, but perhaps a very good friend, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can be sending your love just by closing your eyes, perhaps, and capturing their essence and the memory of the situation that you are watching and viewing. Capture that into your mind, into your consciousness, and coat it in love, quite simply. Just surround them with love from your whole state. You will actually possibly sometimes feel, if you are in this state, that you will feel a pulling from your solar plexus. Maybe not. Maybe it will be a quite a limited experience as far as you're concerned. You may just feel peaceful or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Alternatively, of course, it may be that you actually experience energy moving through you and going to them. Oh, and incidentally, too, I also have to say that sometimes some people like to have their feet gently rubbed whilst they're passing. Others do not.
Oh, yes, that's a dodgy one, isn't it? Because they might be ticklish and you might not know that.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that, but it can actually affect their spinal canal as well.
Right, yes. But I was thinking about, you know, just the whole thought of
well, some people
just absolutely freak it even talking about
even
it. Yes,
even your instrument. Yes.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
quite so. Yes, I am well aware of that. But I'm just saying the different possibilities.
Mm.
Always ask permission first if that's the thing that you want to do, that you feel is best fit the purpose, really.
I know I would like it. Well, that's interesting. Sometimes, I mean, if it's just your time to pass, then this is really the best thing that you can do, isn't it? And very often that they can hear you as well.
Yes, if you're the person who is passing, who is going to pass, then what is it, how is it that you would deal with the situation?
Yes.
Perhaps we should talk about that.
Yeah, quite.
So what I'm saying really is that the situation, if you are the person who is going to pass, how would you actually deal with it? Well, the first thing to realize is nothing that you've ever said or done can be undone. Everything that you feel now is going to transcend into another situation at any moment. So, try not to have fear of that transition, but to allow the situation just to overcome you. I know that many people fight every minute, for every second of last breath that they can. And that is such a struggle, really.
Is it possible in that instance to... how should we say, drag it out?
It is. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Right.
And many people do unnecessarily
right.
so, really.
I didn't know
they,
physically
they just
you could do
don't
that.
Let go. And they're, they're really struggling all the time to try to stay with it, to try to be this, try to be that. Especially, of course, they may well be willed on by their family in order to try to keep them there because they want to... They don't want them to pass, of course.
Don't go.
But that actually turns out to be quite a selfish remit, in fact, quite a selfish situation of energy, which can then transpire to the situation for the person because they don't know whether to just let go or what to do.
On the other hand, I'm sure there's other situations where they've been brought back because they were going and they actually wanted to go, but they heard their family.
Yes.
And they made a brave attempt and did come back. Obviously, it wasn't their time, though.
No, quite so. And it may well be then that they transpire. One of the things that very often happens, of course, is that a person will wait until someone's left the room or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something which very often happens. The reason for this is because they can finally let go in their own time, in their own pace. And even though all of that loving energy has been around them, then quite simply, they just wait until everyone's left the room and then, thank you.
Yes, well, yes, very often that does happen, or in the night when you yes. with somebody all day.
Yes, that's right.
Day after day.
Yes, because they don't want to go necessarily in your company. Mm. That's not to say that it's a selfish act on the part of the person who's passing if they do pass in your company.
No.
But it's all to do with how each individual wishes to deal with it. And it's mm-hmm. not necessarily going to be a fully conscious effort either. It's the will of spirit and the way in which your spirit sees it as a best reflection upon you.
So if you're giving healing to somebody at that time, then basically you're dealing with spirit, their spirit to spirit with them.
Yes, absolutely, every time, yes.
And hopefully sometimes maybe alleviate pain. Are there any illnesses where at that time healing would alleviate pain specifically more than others?
AIDS.
Okay, AIDS, right. So giving healing to somebody who was dying of AIDS would alleviate pain.
Yes, and very
pain.
Often, yes. And very often cancer, too. Different forms of cancer as well. Esophageal cancer, skin, to do with the prostate or something like that.
Why is that?
Well, actually, it's because of the fact that all of the secondary situations which tend to happen with those tend to actually make it so that they are quite malleable, I suppose you could say, to the spirit world because of the sensations which run throughout their physical state of the, if you imagine, friend, what's happening is that their conditions are firing off their pain gates in various places of their physical body. And so what can very often happen or come about through the transition of healing from one or more mediums or more people, they don't necessarily have to call themselves mediums, of course, they simply by bringing out this energy, this energy connection with the spirit world, it quite simply means that their pain gates will be altered. And I understand that many people would say, well, how is it that the spirit world cannot do this in without healing? Why wouldn't they just do this anyway,
mm-hmm.
regardless? Mm-hmm. Well, quite simply because it very often needs the presence of someone else to illuminate the patient efficiently and to perhaps bring their energy to bear upon the situation, quite simply because the patient is losing consciousness or is losing their energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to illuminate the person, you need to be able to connect with them in order to do that. And then the spirit world will be able to see more clearly the definition of what is actually physically transpiring.
Can you, I think, I'll just tell our listeners about our number again, and
yes.
Then I'll move on. If you'd like to call us, we're talking about healing in the U.S. It's toll-free, and Canada it's toll-free. In the U.S., the number is 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-815-9756, and international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222, but I'm afraid the international call is not free. Would you like to talk a little bit more about pain gates? This is not something that comes up very often.
Yes, absolutely so. Very well then, throughout the spinal column, there is a system of pain gates. This is actually to do with one or other leg. It is to do also with the neurological system, to do with your arms as well, and as well as your head, I have to say, and various other parts of your body all have different pain gates which enable you to either disclose them or to shut them off, quite simply. So it means to say that some of the situations of auric vibration that you will come upon when you are meditating, perhaps, is to do with specific types of pain gate. So, if you are a person who perhaps experiences pain in a specific place, shall we say it's the small of your back, there is a pain gate on the third vertebrae of the lower part of your back which enables you to actually mitigate the pain that you may be feeling in your legs if you are enabled to operate it. And you are possibly enabled to operate it through asking for prayers or for healing or something like that, interactivity with the spirit world as a solitary physical person. If you are giving healing to someone else, it may be that you need to work upon that person's pain gates in order to ease their pain of their limbs, or which, depending on wherever it is. And as I say, there are most definitely very different places of pain gate to do with your physical limbs, but also to do with fingers as well. Each finger has a separate pain gate, for example. Each of your organs also has a separate pain gate that you would be able to manipulate and occupy either yourself or through the spirit world in order to mitigate the amount of pain that person is suffering from.
And that's something that can be done through healing?
Yes.
Hands-on healing?
Yes, absolutely so. It can be done through hands-on healing. It can also be construed through your own physical metabolic state. That's the point to say. These are very real things. It's not an aberration. It's not an illusion. A pain gate is an actual factual aspect of science, of modern scientific medicine. People who are dealing with, shall we say, chronic illnesses of back pain and that kind of thing will be familiar with the connotation of pain gates that you very often, in the forms of chronic pain, are, it may well be that the site of the pain has actually healed, but what you are feeling is that the pain gate has actually been left open. And so what you have to do as a physical being is learn to cooperate with your physical body so that you are then able to stop the pain gate and shut it.
And you can do that mind over body.
It's a very specific form of energy meditation that you have to do. And it's to do with certain forms of breathing technique as well as ultra-spatial awareness, which means to say that you place your conscious state outside of your physical state in order to achieve it.
Well, would you have to know exactly where the pain gate is?
You would need to know the specific area, yes. Absolutely so. But it's a very interesting exercise and one that I fully recommend to many people. Well, almost everyone, in fact, who is suffering from some chronic form of illness. Perhaps they're taking a great many tablets or pills for them or something like that. It's something, actually, that Mr. Sinitra does a great deal of when he's dealing with physical people.
And that's Nick's trance healing guide for anybody who doesn't know that. Yes, he does work a lot with pain gates, but for people who, like you say, you have to know where they are, how do people find out where they are?
Yes, we'll actually have to plot it.
We'll have to do a diagram and put it on the website.
Yes, quite so.
Hopefully.
Absolutely so, yes. We'll get Mr. Sinitra to do that, to actually describe them and ascribe them clearly.
Mm.
Yes.
So, something that we would teach at a healing workshop.
Oh, yes,
that
absolutely.
We did, but obviously not
absolutely.
Everybody can come to them.
No.
But, yes, and also in animals, too. I know that we've worked with pain gates with animals as well that have had injuries.
Yes, that's very true, Fred. Yes, and exactly the same thing applies, of course. There's no difference between other animals and your good self.
Everybody's got pain gates.
Yes. Every creature has pain gates, yes.
It's almost like you could have a meditation, a daily meditation or something, like you would for keeping your mind in balance.
Yes.
Keep your pain gates in balance. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yes, possibly so. Although, of course, most of them you don't have to, because they actually operate upon a swing system, so that when you feel pain, your neurons fire off into and up your spinal column through the pain gate, or perhaps it's not. Perhaps the pain gate is not necessarily upon your spinal column. It might be in your arm or something like that, as there are for your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, actually, the pain that you feel in your finger has to actually go through two sets of pain gates. One which is in your upper arm, and the other which is in your spinal column.
So are pain gates something that you, that you would be able to sense?
Not ordinarily, but perhaps with practice you could. The point is that you have to understand exactly where they are, and then you can visualization. You can use visualization to bring this about. And mirology as well will also figure quite heavily in that.
We'll go on to mirology in a second, but...
Yes.
I was going to say...
Well, mirology is really a whole different set of circumstances.
Yes, it is, yeah. And we will obviously, now we've mentioned it, we'll have to talk about that, but another week.
Oh, yes, absolutely so. We won't go into it this time.
No, would most healing guides know about pain gates?
Well, it depends on really how they have... instrumentalized the situation between their physical co-worker. It may well be that they have had this part of their training in development, and it may be that they haven't. It depends entirely upon the individual. Everyone is different, after all, and unique in their beauty.
And obviously, there might be healers that use these pain gates with being inspired by their spirit guide to do things, to put their hands or whatever. So they might be using them without realizing.
Oh, yes, absolutely so. Yes, and not actually realizing what it is they call them.
Highly likely that they wouldn't know, in fact.
Yes, quite. Well, it's the much of a muchness, really.
You know, that they wouldn't have a name for it. If the actual medium doesn't have a name for it, that they're just, if they're actually going to where their spirit guide is directing.
Yes, and particularly as well, of course, if they find that the word pain gate is such an unscrupulous word, and they would much rather have some much more grander connotation for it, perhaps some other esoteric name, then that obviously could also be something that they would rather focus their attention upon.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but pain gate is actually in English what it is. Mm. It's a simple term because it's what it is.
But it's not something that actually, like a flap that opens, is it? And closes like a gate would. Is it?
Yes.
Is it really?
Yes, it does.
Really?
Yes. What it actually means is that a pain gate is a means of response. So it's a recorded situation that becomes more indelibly printed the more that you feel a sensation, if you understand. So, if you are, shall we say that you are suffering from some kind of a situation to do with a disc in your back or something like that, and what you will experience in the pain gate manifestation is a recurrence of the injury as it spikes into pain, traveling up and sends a message through the neurons to your brain, and what then it triggers is a sense of a set of message responses from that trigger. And what you are then actually building are new synapses from one place of where the pain gate sent the message to another place of where it received it. So you have then made a bridge in your synapse in your actual physical brain. What then transpires is that because of the fact that you've done that, and your brain remembers it, it keeps opening the gate. So every time that the trigger response is made down in your spine because of a different conflagration of your actual disc, perhaps it is that it has expanded slightly or something and pushed upon part of your spinal cord or something like that, you suddenly feel great sharp pain and it reopens the pain gate. The pain gate remembers this and sends the message to the synapse in your physical brain. This then makes the synapse rejoin and redouble the joint between the place that it originated from and its counterpart, you see, its resolution place. When you have a thought in your physical brain, you are firing off a synapse into a resolution, a place of resolution. That's where the spark leaves your thought and transpires to. So it's always a point from and to, you see?
Mm-hmm.
When you have a physical thought, that's what happens. Even if it's a conscious thought, even if it's nothing to do with your physical brain, but is something to do with your journey in the spirit world, it's still something which figures a recipe of synapse contact between one place and another place. But actually what happens then is that normally that would break away because it's only happened once, if, shall we say, during or something like that. But what happens in recurring situations like the situation in your back, in the disc, or something, is that it's repetitive. Therefore, the synapse between one point A and B becomes strengthened and thickened, and then it cannot break down. This then means that the pain gate stays open.
Okay, hello?
Hello, friend?
That's probably our time to finish.
Oh, very well then.
Yeah, he just said we could go till 4 minutes past, but...
Well, I will go quickly.
Okay.
Oh, God bless and take care.
Thank you, Gregory.
God bless. Goodbye.
And I'm sure this the pain gate trigger response leads to fears and phobias as well, actually. And I'm sure of that, and I think we'll find that out next week. Anyway, I'd like to say thank you very much for joining us and for your phone call. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Do visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Take a look on the site. Have a look at our video on VOH.com. It's in the educational section. Have a look at that. Send it to your friends. And do join us again on Monday and then on Thursday. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.